my name's Andy and I'm an addict. And let me first start by saying thank you, you know, for asking me to come up here and, you know, and join in this, you know, it's a very special moment, you know, the first year anniversary of Interaction. Fantastic. You know, and it's a privilege, you know, and I've been trusted to carry a message. A simple message that, you know, when I first came in, blew me away. You know, it did. I was one of these hopeless addicts that we all hear about. A typical addict, an average addict, gyro junkie, you know. I did all the things addicts do in order to get drugs, you know. I used drugs. They used me. I had to have drugs at all costs. It didn't matter who I stepped over, who I hurt, you know, where I got the money from. I had to have drugs at all costs. And that was my dilemma. You know, I couldn't live with and I couldn't live without drugs. It took me to a place where we often hear about, and that's this place of absolute desperation, absolute hopelessness. The fight had been beaten out of me because I was a clever addict. In my own head, I was a clever addict because I always managed to get money. I always survived out there, you know. And with 3 months left to live, you know, I'm still thinking I'm a clever addict. You know, the cleverest thing I ever did was hold my hands up and say, I'm beaten. I'm absolutely beaten. Please show me. And it took another addict, you know, a friend of mine that I'd used with for years. I'd suddenly come out of an institution yet again, you know, X amount of institutions, and he was there, and he was a different guy. He talked differently, he acted differently. His attitude towards life was different. You know, we used to sit around and whinge. We were professional whingers and misery guts, you know, back in those days. But this guy wasn't speaking that way. And I asked him what he had done. He took me along to a meeting. And, you know, a meeting very similar to this one. A meeting that shared the common solution. You know, we're all brought together because we share this common illness. But here was a meeting. It wasn't just one person saying one thing and another person saying another thing. You know, like I see in an awful lot of meetings through, you know, where I live. This was a meeting where everybody rode in the same direction. Everybody sung from the same hymn sheet. They all talked about the steps, sponsorship, you know, and recovery. And, you know, they set about telling me how they had recovered. Not one person told me what I had to do. Not one person told me what I should do or what I could do or anything. They all told me what they had done, you know, and I sat and I listened quite intently, really, because, you know, as I said, I had 3 months to live. I didn't know where I was going to go or where else I had to go, because I was at my wit's end. And here was a group of people telling me that through getting sponsorship, working the 12-step program with a sponsor, they would get recovery. You know, and they would recover from this illness. See, I'm an addict. Me, I always thought I had a drug problem. You know, I didn't realize that addiction is a state of mind. You know, it's this mental obsession that I suffer from. A physical craving, you know, and a physical allergy to drugs. But it was this mental obsession. Take away the physical cravings, take away the drug, I ain't going to crave physically, am I? You know, because there's no physical thing there. But the mental obsession for me was intense. I could give up a drug for a while. Somewhere along the line, I would make it right to pick up that drug. Somewhere along the line, it didn't matter who I hurt, my family would be, please don't do this, don't do this. And I'd be out there and I'd be saying, I'm sorry. It won't happen this time. I'd do something differently. And it won't be as bad as it was last time. You know, but I would pick up a drug. I couldn't stop, you know, stop using drugs. And I couldn't stay stopped either. As I said, I listened to what these people had to say. And they said, through sponsorship, you know, just another addict that was prepared to take me through that basic text. In that text lies my solution. You know, that's the solution to my whole life's problems, in that text. You know, I was given a temporary sponsor at that time, and this guy gave me simple things that I could do. Because I'm not an academic, you know, I'm not a clever guy, I'm a practical man. I live a very simple life. I do very simple things in my life in order to have a great life, really. And this program was designed for me, a simple guy. I was told that all I had to do was get on my knees in the morning and pray to a higher power. Not a religious man, never been one, never will be. You know, but the concept that, you know, a group of addicts who have recovered from this illness, you know, that the concept of them being a higher power than me was easy to grasp. you know, because I never had any ideas, I never had a clue how to recover. And these people, as I said, were willing to show me. So I got on my knees and I started praying to this higher power. I put my trust in this group that the process that they had gone through would work for me as well. You know, because it sort of worked for my friend, and I thought, well, if he can do it, so can I. And it was an action. It was all actions. It was great because I didn't have to think about anything. I didn't have to come and say, sit down with the sponsor and say, well, yeah, I'll think about that and maybe I'll crack on with that later. Let me work it out for a couple of days and I'll get back to you. I didn't have to do all that. All I had to do was get on my knees and pray for a clean day. And, you know, I was told to get a basic text and start reading it, which I did. Page or a chapter a day. You know, because, as I said, within that basic text is the solution to my life's problems. But I'm useless at doing things by myself. You know, I had to have somebody show me. Everything I am today is a result of being taught. You know, I had to be taught everything that I am today. And I listened to this guy because he had what I wanted. He had a peace of mind and a serenity that, you know, that I craved for years. Because my head chattered in millions for years. You know, it raced constantly. And there I was, listening to this guy who had recovered, and he told me to phone a couple of people within the fellowship, you know, newcomers preferably, and, you know, ask where they were. Didn't understand why I had to do it, I just did it. You know, and that's what I'm saying. If there's anybody new or wants this way, you know, wants a different way of life, get really excited. Get really excited, because it's blown me away for over 9 years now, you know, and my life's just continued to get better and better. I'm not saying monetary or anything like that. What I'm saying is me, within, you know, because it's an inside job for me. I have a great time. I get really excited all the time. Anybody that knows me knows that I smile a lot. You know, why shouldn't I smile? If you've been in the shit that I've been in for all those years, for over 22 years of my life, you'd be smiling today. You know, I got taught how to get grateful for the things I have in my life. Not the things I don't have, but for the things I have. And over time, more things I've got grateful for, more things, and, you know, life is excellent today. I've said to many people, and I've shared many times, I only have two kinds of day in recovery, great days and brilliant days. You know, I'm an addict. I stuck needles in my body from the age of 17 up until I was 34. You know, and I used drugs far before then as well. My life took a turn for the better when I came into this fellowship, when I actually allowed myself to be guided by somebody who knew better than me. I continued to do these suggestions. My life got better and better. I started feeling happy. I started feeling good about myself. I was taken through the steps by my sponsor. Again, this man showed me every step of the way. Showed me. And in return, I got, at the end of it, I got restored to sanity. I got a change of thought and attitude, a spiritual awakening. And, you know, it continues because I work with addicts today. I do the very best I can. I have a higher power in my life, which, again, blows me away. You know, I've had people say, they talk about a honeymoon period. I've had 9 years of honeymoon period. I've never had a bad day. Great days are when I haven't used a drug. Brilliant days are everything that comes with it, you know, through not taking drugs. And it's all offered to anybody. I've said my piece now, but listen to the other guys as well, because I dare say they'll be singing in the same, you know, they'll be rolling in the same direction. This works. It's 100% guarantee as long as you give yourself to it. And I'll leave it there. Thank you.
Thanks, John. My name's Mark and I'm an addict. And I'm very grateful to be able to share from the table tonight in my home group. And yeah, I'm an addict of the same description that you spoke about, Andy. From a young age, I used drugs. They was great fun. I really enjoyed using drugs. I found that they also done for me that they treated a fear and an anxiety that I had from a young kid, and that was really a solution in my life, you know, from a very young age. And I am an addict. I am an addict, though, as I say. And you know, unfortunately for me, I crossed an invisible line. where I lost control of my using. I lost my ability to control my intake, and drugs helped bring me to my knees. You know, I first came to this fellowship just, you know, thinking that I just had a drug problem. But what I experienced was that, you know, while being clean, I've had, you know, different periods of time in different institutions, time spent within this fellowship, being clean. What I also found was that I didn't just have a drug problem, you know, I had a life problem. And it was essential for me to do as Andy done, you know, to get a sponsor and to work through the steps, to read our literature. Because I found that I'm an addict of a type. You know, I mean, if you're new around and if you've had a problem controlling drugs, you know, welcome. We've got something in common. But as I say, I found that I had a problem with life. I had a particular type of self-centered fear, a particular attitude, self-centered attitude, that made life just a very hard thing for me to take part in, to be part of, you know. And what I'd done, you know, I really experienced my powerlessness over using drugs, and I got to accept my lack of control over that. And as I say, what I also done, while being clean, I'd used for quite a few years, when I got clean, I started to fear that anxiety that I first started feeling, as a teenager, as a youngster. It kind of came back and progressed very quickly. And, you know, my kind of attitude was that, you know, if I could get enough financial security or enough prestige, that these different forms of insecurity and fear would vanish away. You know, but that just wasn't the case. I thought that, you know, if I tightened my grip on managing my life, if you like, that I would get by okay. That just, obviously, you know, I was fighting a losing battle. You know, people wouldn't always do as I wanted them to, when I wanted them to, and I'd just find myself, I didn't realise that I was doing it at the time, but you know, I would create situations where I left myself open to be hurt by other people, and I was just, you know, accumulating this resentment and self-pity, which would always bring me to a place where I would crave some comfort from that, and the thought would come back, you know, the obsession. I hadn't experienced anything else that could do that for me, give me that comfort, apart from using drugs, and that is what I'd always return to. So, you know, through desperation, I got to see that not only could I not control my drug using, but my thinking was a liability. And, you know, what I'd done, through desperation, I found a meeting very similar to this one. I mean, I'd been to other meetings and people had shared about, you know, the work that they had done to get this power in their life that enabled them to stay clean and to enjoy life, you know, something that hadn't been my experience, you know, for a considerable amount of time. But my self-willed attitude, I just wasn't really, you know, I wasn't really hearing it. But, you know, I hit a place of desperation where reasonableness kind of got beaten into me, you know, through that internal controversy. And that's exactly what I've done. You know, I got a sponsor and with a sponsor that I had at the time, you know, I remember my attitude changed. And I said to him, you know, what do you suggest I do? I'll do anything that you suggest to get some reprieve from this addiction that is totally controlling my life. And you know, I got given a program of practical suggestions. You know, as Andy said, I'd done well when I was a kid at school. I'd like to think I'm a bit creative, but the reality is that, you know, I would really complicate the most simplest of things. You know, I got given, written down on a bit of paper, very simple, half a dozen actions to do. And I started doing them straight away and got the benefits straight away. I worked through the 12 steps. I was guided through by my sponsor, and you know, my life changed dramatically and has done. I've experienced staying clean to be an easy thing to do, my life has improved, you know, in every area, and yeah, I'm just very fortunate to have a sponsor, and you know, and to have been guided through this 12-step process, and yeah, and it's really good to be in my home group tonight, and I'll leave it there. Thanks.
My name's Jess and I'm an addict.
Hello, Jess.
Thank you. It's it's a privilege to be here. It's a privilege to be asked to do a job. I do the things that I do today, not just as if my life depends on it, but because they depend on it. Well, because it depends on it. And I've got no problem with that. It's not hard what I do. The results are far greater than I thought they'd be. They were as I was promised, and then some, you know. It was never ever my intention to be an addict. It was never. I didn't go out looking for drugs. They came along, fantastic solution for a long time. You know, they did for me what I couldn't do. They shut my head up. They didn't make me worry about what I was doing, what he was doing, what this was doing. You know, that internal constant kind of analysing and thinking stopped, and it was a relief. You know, I don't know how aware I was of that at the time, but I was definitely life is easier when I'm using. Various things happened and I stopped for a bit. But then life happened again, and that internal dialogue started again. And my solution, the only thing that I knew that would stop doing that was using. So that's what I did. It doesn't really matter. I've come to learn what I used, how I used. I used anything that would make me feel different, that would make me feel better. I heard someone say, you know, for a person who cared a lot about what people thought of them, I also hurt a lot of people, you know. And I was prepared to go to any lengths, and I did, for drugs. I was offered a place in an institution, and I got a bit more clean time than I'd had before. And to be honest, that was a big novelty. You know, I got to this sort of landmark thing again. It doesn't actually matter. It wasn't an incredibly long amount of time, but it was longer than I'd had before. And the novelty of that was good, you know, for a couple of days. And I got to a place, you know, I'd moved, I'd gone out with people, not gone out with people, tried religion, tried medicine, tried all these different things to make me feel better. I wasn't afraid to say to anyone, you know, oh, my head's in bits, you know. I never had a problem saying, do you know what I mean, help me. Never ever had a problem. I'd tell anyone and everyone, and people who didn't care, people who cared. I had lots of people who cared, you know. I had lots of people who wanted to help me, who, you know, gave me a lot of very valid advice, good advice. But these people weren't addicts. They didn't have the common problem that you talked about. They didn't, you know, their best intentions weren't going to help me, you know. Aside from the fact that I very often didn't do anything that they said, it wasn't going to help me, you know, and it didn't. I had this period of clean time, moved to a new town again, moved to a new flat again, and the circle was repeating itself, you know. It wasn't unusual for me to be living in a place where I didn't know anyone, to just have got clean, meet new people, all of this. This wasn't, you know, this wasn't anything new to me. But yeah, there was something about knowing that I was going to use again that wasn't all right, you know. I knew where it took me, and I didn't want to go there again, you know. I was under no illusion that it was going to be any different, you know. A lot of the times when I used, I knew it wasn't going to be any different, but I did it. But yeah, I think, you know, there was just something about having this, like, period of clean time that made me think, I can't do it. My experience of NA, I went to a few meetings before this, and yeah, I didn't hear anything that was said because I was too worried, too busy thinking, oh, should I share this? And right, he said that, so I can kind of add on to that and say this, and oh yeah, that happened, and yeah, I can lie about that happening because that will probably be quite funny, and do you know what I mean? Often the meeting finished and I hadn't said anything, so for me, I didn't have the experience of coming around and hearing anything really other than my voice, and this was whether I was clean or not. But yeah, fortunately and definitely God willing, you know, I can see now clearly, you know. I went to a meeting very similar to this one, my sponsor's meeting. I was told about it, and yeah, my intention was to get a sponsor before I walked in the door, to be honest, because I'd heard from people who were doing it this way, who were sponsored through that meeting, and I was convinced, you know, there wasn't that kind of, I don't know what the word is, but not defiance necessarily, but there wasn't, you know, there wasn't any resistance to it. I knew that my best thinking was completely flawed, was going to lead to me using. I knew that me sitting here thinking about willing myself to stay clean wasn't going to work for very long. And yeah, I was pleased to be there with people who knew what they were talking about. You know, I was convinced. I didn't need convincing. I wasn't told what to do. I was listening to what people said they did. And yeah, that was fantastic. I was happy again to go to someone, here's all the pieces that I've created and it's rubbish and help. And yeah, fortunately, I did that with my sponsor who didn't tolerate me going, but did tolerate me going, help. And she said, nice one, I've got a solution. Are you willing to go to any length? And absolutely, I was, you know. When I got those suggestions, I was arrogantly surprised at the simplicity of them, you know. I would have done more, to be honest, and yet I wouldn't have been able to do more. I'm naturally so lazy. Only when it gets painful enough am I willing to do something about it, and it was really painful, so I was willing to do a lot. You know, Andy sort of outlined them. They're not difficult things at all, not at all, and they needed to be not difficult, you know. It's, I can't stick at anything. The longest thing that I've stuck at is using. You know, that's the one thing that I can say, yeah, I've done that for like a significant amount of time. These things are ideal. They suit me very, very well, you know. The things that I do go against what I do naturally. I'm naturally ungrateful, so I write a gratitude list. And it's doing things again, you know. That's something that I found very hard to do. I could quite happily sit there and go, yeah, in a minute I'm going to do this and do this and do this, and nothing happened, you know. It's not good enough for me to sit and think about praying. I need to be down on my knees praying. It's not good enough to sit and be thinking about doing things. I need to be actually doing them. My life's a far, far cry from how it was. I'm not immensely rich. I don't have a car, la 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 la, but also my head is quieter than it's ever been, and that's nice. That, for an addict of my description, it's nice to not have that constant thing. I've absolutely definitely got a solution. It was freely given. It's a pleasure for me to give it back to people. Happy birthday, and thanks for asking me.
My name's Dan, and I am an addict. Welcome, everybody, and I'd just like to thank the previous three speakers. I identify with all of them. Absolutely, you all told my story. I could really just sit here and say what they said and leave it at that. But of course, I enjoy the sound of my own voice, and but it's part of what I have to do. You know, I'm not here to talk about, like, as the people just talking there, no one's mentioned any particular drug, no one's spoken, you know, at length about war stories, or consequences. If you're in an NA meeting, you've done it. You know, we don't need to convince you to come to an NA meeting because you're here. You don't need to hear a long catalogue of drugs and needles and the police and death and blah blah. Whatever. You're here. You do not need to be convinced. If you need to be convinced by anybody, you need too much. That's my experience. It's a question of relating. I'm not here to sort of lecture you or to kind of try and change your thinking. If you're an addict, it's impossible. I was absolutely sure I was right for most of my life. And there was no point telling me what to do. I wasn't going to listen. It was irrelevant. I was going to pursue my way, and I didn't care what you had to say. I would nod and I would smile, and I could be quite polite at occasion, and I could even turn up on time once in a while. But I always had my agenda, and that was paramount. Absolutely paramount. I was going to do what I wanted to do, what I needed to do, and what had to be done. And it was the people who wrote the steps in the beginning, one of them, he spoke about he decided to tackle life, and it was as though he'd built this wonderful weapon with which to move forward. And this weapon was fueled by drugs, and had all these different bits to it, and arrogance and dishonesty and selfishness, and he was just going to parade through life with this thing. And the thing about this weapon is it turned on him and almost cut him to ribbons. That's my experience. Absolutely my experience. I thought I was right. I thought it was the bee's knees. Despite the obvious flaws that I felt, as Mark outlined, this self-centered fear, I didn't really have to worry about it too much because I just used some drugs and it would go away. Fantastic. Despite the consequences, despite what was going on, I didn't care. The problem came at the end of my addiction, my active addiction, my use of drugs. I started to care. Like Andy said, the bravado was beaten out of me. I just couldn't stick my fingers up anymore. I felt that I felt a loneliness that few people will experience, I believe. And I seem to have basically two ways of dealing with the world. One was angry, and the other one was miserable. And I seem to oscillate between these two sort of expressions, if you like. I think I enjoyed anger a little bit more because it was accompanied by a bit of enthusiasm, whereas misery was just, it was the pits. As I said, I started to care. I started to care about my life. I started to care where it wasn't going. And I had, by this point, attended various therapy sessions. There was sort of a history of doctors behind me, from the private doctor to the sort of junior doctor at a drop-in clinic in a state-sponsored place. And I was never left with any impression that I've got something in my life that's going to work. While I was sitting across the desk from a doctor, kind of complaining and explaining and analysing and presenting, new symptoms and new answers before he'd even said anything, I felt okay. But as soon as I got out the door, this sort of progressive feeling would come over me, and I'd just feel more and more alienated. Whether I was using or not was irrelevant. I'd just feel more and more lonely, more and more disconnected. I'd feel more and more miserable and more angry. As I said, at the end of my addiction, this changed. And I was convinced that I was better than this. I was convinced that there must be... I can't continue doing this. I can't stop myself doing it. I can't continue doing this. And like Jess just spoke about, I ended up in a facility where I got clean. And I think you put that very well. I got a bit of clean time behind me. It was novel. I'd never had so much clean time. I left the institution. And the feeling that I'd had my entire life, that got worse and worse and worse, was there in abundance. It was a terrific sense that a fear. There was like a huge weight above my head that was about to come crashing down and crush me. And I knew how to stop that. That was to go and use. And I just didn't want to. I knew, I'd accepted what happens when I put a drug in my body. It was very clear to me, and Andy outlined this, you know, the mental obsession leads to me using that first one, and all the rest is me craving and trying to overcome a physical craving. Okay? And I'm doomed. Utterly, utterly doomed. And I didn't want that. What I did, because I'd had exposure to the good men and women of Narcotics Anonymous, I made a beeline for a meeting to do what had to be done. I did this because, not because I thought you guys were really smart and clever and lovely and sexy and wonderful. I didn't actually like any of you very much, you know. But something stuck out, and it was one of the guys sitting at this table who had come into the treatment centre I was in and done some hospitals and institutions work and shared pretty much exactly what he shared tonight. And I just thought, well, you know, he's happy, I'm not. You know, he's got something I haven't. I've tried all these doctors and medicine and blah, 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 blah. Let's just give this a go. You know, let's just give this Narcotics Anonymous thing a go. If it doesn't work, at least I can turn around and say, you lot of freaks were wrong, and, you know, I am doomed. And I'll be happy in my damnation as long as I'm right. Until the drugs run out, and I'll want to kill myself. And, so I went along to the meeting, I got a sponsor, I got the same list, but people have spoken about, a simple list of suggestions, or one suggestion, broken down into six parts. And I did it, and I was pleased that I got that piece of paper. I've still got it stuck on the inside of my basic text. I thought, I've got the ticket. I've got the fucking ticket. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to do this stuff. And it worked straight away. Now, my life didn't turn around. I didn't wake up in a palace, you know, with a couple of women and a Bentley outside. That didn't happen. What happened was that I started to feel better. I started to have peace of mind. I started to feel present in the here and now. I started to be able to look people in the eye and think, you know, maybe they don't hate me. Maybe life can be a bit of fun without me, you know, having to spend a fiver breathing in and out. You know, I started to do things. That's why this meeting, well, not me, if this meeting is called into action, because it comes from a phrase in the NA basic text which says, good ideas and good intentions do not help if we fail to put them into action. I was putting action in. I wasn't trying to use my thinking. I wasn't looking in the mirror saying, happy, 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 happy. I wasn't sort of trying to persuade myself to have happy, great, positive, wonderful feelings. I wasn't looking for self-affirmation. This was not about self-help. This was not rational. This was weird, and it was strange, and it was mysterious, because it was essentially, at the core of this, was me praying to something I didn't understand, something called God, and, you know, doing something that somebody else, who I didn't actually know very well, suggested that I do. I took the suggestions as directions for me personally. It was simple. If I didn't do them, I didn't want what this man had, so screw you, you know. I did want what he had. And thank you, John. By putting in these actions, I got results. It's why I'm sitting here tonight, 5 years down the road. I'm here because of the results. I like the way this makes me feel. And this does go against my nature. You see, my nature is a problem. I used to sit in meetings and say, there was something wrong with me, there was something in the way, there was something, I didn't know what it was, there was something. And my sponsor turned around to me recently, but that's something, he said, that's something, you know what, it's your nature. And I you're right, it makes sense to me. My nature is one of self-destruction and self-centeredness. So I've had to change my nature. I don't know about you, but I think that's impossible to do without some kind of super power, some superhuman thing. I call it God. I'm not here to tell you what God is. I don't actually know. All that I know is I'm now sure of the presence of a power greater than myself in my life, as long as I do these simple actions and put other people first. I spent most of my life being a selfish asshole. What right have I got? You know, I need to. I found a wonderful release from the bondage of self in putting other people first, especially in the parameters of what this fellowship has to offer. Of course, I take this further than the fellowship. I spend maybe 5 hours of a week in meetings, which means there's 80 hours for me to live life with real, you know, gusto in. With normal people. And what I found, and I'll finish on this, what I found is that like Andy, I don't have bad days. I have difficult days. I have difficult days. People die. You know, friends die. Car crashes happen. Things don't go the way I want. Okay? But I do not have to resort to the way that I previously did and help destroy myself. I think this is a wonderful meeting and it's been great to hear you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.